Hi, and welcome to What the Phalange, the podcast where we watch every episode of Friends, discuss it, deconstruct it, and fan over it, one episode at a time.
My name is Emily, pronouns she and her.
And my name is Quinn, pronouns zizier or they, them.
This week, we're talking about season 2, episode 3, the one with Phoebe's husband. I'm singing it out now. This episode aired on October 12th, 1995. It was written by Alexa Young and directed by Gail Mancuso. And before you say what this episode is about, Quinn, I just want to mention that this is the first episode of Friends in which it was both written and directed by a woman.
This is pretty cool. Interesting. So in this episode, we meet Phoebe's long-lost husband, who we never knew she had. The friends reveal some interesting secrets about each other, including the fact that Chandler has a third nipple, or nubbin, and Joey was in a pornographic film. And also, lastly, Rachel tries to convince Ross not to have sex with his girlfriend, Julie, because she's too darn sad and jealous.
Did you like my description that I read?
Yeah, that I read for the first time as I said it. I thought that was pretty good, you know, for, you know.
Yeah, that was great.
I have a trouble reading, so that was great.
That was excellent. First take. Wonderful. All right, so this is basically, to sum up, the episode in which it's gay.
It's gay.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I love, like, the whole concept in this episode in which they, like, mirror the trope of coming out to your partner, but making it straight and kind of flipping that on the head, I think is, like, really great, and one thing I want to talk about.
Okay,
today.
I was going to say, like, don't go too far into it, Em.
I know, that's why. I'm just saying, that's one thing I want to talk about today. Can I tell you my other things I want to talk about?
Yeah, I assume that you are on that train already.
I'm
You're,
on
like,
that train.
Super hyped right now. I love it.
I'm hyped. It's just I love this episode, honestly. Okay, I also want to talk about porn. Let's talk about porn. And I want to talk about Rachel manipulating Ross and why it's not the same as Ross manipulating Rachel, but that doesn't mean that it's okay. That's right. All I'm going to say until we come to it.
Okay, great. Okay, so I also want to talk about porn. I also want to talk about the whole coming out parallel, which I think is amazing. I kind of thought maybe you'd be the one to bring this up, but I think we should touch on immigration a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then I want to talk about four things. I also want to talk about Rachel being manipulative.
I also want to talk about, in like a little side bracket note, I want to talk about Chandler's sweater. Phoebe's dress.
Okay.
And I have reasons for that. And I also just want to talk about this first, not the first scene, like not the cold open. Actually, the cold open too. Like, I just want to talk a little bit about the script in this episode. Just specifically, like, how fucking funny this episode is and how, like, honestly, I feel as though every single time we're like, oh my God, this episode is so funny. Who wrote this episode? I feel like it's always Alexa Young. So I don't know, Alexa, you're making things happen for us here. Big fan.
Also, I want to, like, before we, like, head in, I want to, like, okay, I don't know if you feel different, but I feel like this is almost like a throwback to, like, when we first started the podcast, because, like, we're, like, recording this episode and we haven't put out polls yet, and we haven't, like, engaged with it. Actually, for the first time, we're doing it even – although when we first started doing the podcast, we would watch the episode, like, 3 or 4 times before we actually record it. But we're doing this very fresh. We're trying out something new. And I just – I don't know. In some ways, I find it, like, strange to be, like, doing this and be like, I don't have polls in front of me.
Yeah, but, for sure. Yeah, but fear not, we will still be like integrating a little poll segment into this episode. So you will still get the poll results in this episode, but they just won't be intermixed into every single conversation we have like normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you kind of gave your first impression where you're like really hyped for this episode and you love it so much. It's funny that you say that because like I really love the first scene. And I really love, like, the parallel, like, the queer parallel there. But, like, overall, like, this – and I guess, like, the it pushes the storyline of, like, the love triangle along. But, like, I don't actually, like, love this episode, I feel like, in the way that, you know, you're saying that you love this episode.
So I think I love this episode specifically for the writing. I think the like writing is really good. I think the acting is incredibly good in this episode. I love the way that like there's this intense body acting in this entire episode. And I obviously, I think I talked about that even last episode, like how I just find that this show is really good at bringing like these characters aren't just saying their lines. Like they are in their roles in a way that I think like is not rare to see in an actor, but it's just like shows how good an actor they really all are. Yeah. And so I really like that aspect of the episode. and like, I'm not saying like I wouldn't put this in like my, you know, top 10 favorite episodes, but I just think there's some really, really good moments that are great. And I actually, I'm looking forward to talking about this whole Rachel thing because I think my opinion around Rachel in this episode has evolved over the years. And yeah, so.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to having that conversation. Yeah. Cause I guess I feel like I haven't given myself enough time to actually like process. I feel like I'm generally a bit of a slow processor to like give myself the time to like fully process out like the whole situation with Rachel. So I'm actually very curious to like have that conversation with you when it comes.
Yeah.
Okay. So first, speaking of Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh
my
God. This scene, I die every time.
Yeah. Laughing my butt off literally every time. Also Rachel is such a babe. Like, oh my God.
I know. And this scene really drives it home. And what I said in, like, because I've been trying to, like, find the right words for Rachel because I feel like in last episode, what I sort of pointed out was, like, you know, right when they were, like, up against, like, Mr. Heckles at the door, like, Rachel was kind of, like, being tough, but also, like, you can tell that she's still, like, young and fresh at it, you know, like, whereas, mm-hmm. like, that changes over the 10th season, like, she evolves. And I feel like this scene, though, helps me, like, articulate exactly what it is about Rachel, is that, like, she is, like, she will be freaked out and scared and, like, inexperienced as well in coping with something, but she will, like, do it anyway.
She'll make it happen.
And yeah. She'll make it happen and she'll do it with like with gumption. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she'll show up for it. And like I feel like that's exactly what's happening in this situation where there's like a pigeon flies through the window and lands on the kitchen table. And yeah. She's like freaking out and she's like, what do I do? And she's like very resourceful, grabs a pot and like her whole interaction with the pigeon. It just gets me every time. Like she's just so brave.
I think it's great because like she's, you see this like kind of double side of things where she's like, okay, I can handle the situation, but like it does like, okay, I don't know if this is gonna sound weird, but like she doesn't do like that classic trope where she like quote unquote mans up, you know, like this idea of like, right. Okay, now I'm tough now, you know, mm-hmm. like she's freaking out and she's like still very much Rachel and like being very like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like freaking out. But she's still like handling the fucking situation, you know, whereas like I think sometimes when you see like women get strong, it's like they take on like almost quote unquote masculine qualities.
Yeah,
like,
where like, and by masculine, you know? And by masculine, you kind of mean, or what I'm assuming you mean is sort of like the masking of like any type of emotion, like,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
in the sense of like toxic masculinity is like not being allowed to have any emotions except for anger. And so like, this is like, she, you can still read how she's feeling and she's open about it, but she's like, she's going to deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Her poor mom on the phone with her, though, it's so funny. Like, her being like, it's a totally safe neighborhood. Everything's fine. Don't worry, mom. And then, like, panicking and hanging up. I can't even imagine her mom in that scenario. So good.
I know, right? Oh, it's so true.
So then we meet Duncan. And I just want to say a thing. So a little fun fact about Duncan. So he is played by Steve Zahn, or like his full name, Stephen James Zahn. And this is the only scene in the episode in which Duncan and another one of the friends besides Phoebe interact, right?
Right.
And this, this is obviously with Rachel. And fun fact, they go on, both of those actors, so Jennifer Aniston and Steve Zahn, go on in 2008 to star in a movie together called Management, where they are in love in that movie. So,
oh,
yeah, just fun trivia fact.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Cool.
Yeah. And then obviously we get this great line from Duncan where he's like, he's like, hey, how did you do that? Like, it's just like so impressed.
Yeah, I feel like just in that one line, you just like totally fall in love with him too. You're like, oh, you're so cute and pure.
Yeah, so good.
So sweet. And I get why you, I get why Phoebe was in love with you or is in love with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so then the next scene, obviously everyone's in Monica and Rachel's apartment and they're like, what? How are you married? What? How did this happen? Like, how do we literally never know this happened? You know, and and then Ross is like, calls Monica out on like her being judgmental, which I think is kind of like the, what's that expression? The pot
calling the kettle black.
Black or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this kind of like, okay, Ross, you are like the king of judgmental. Like, this is a Geller family thing. Like,
yeah. It's but, in your DNA practically.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, but I want to point out,
I love how – sorry.
Duncan's from Canada.
Yeah, so great. It's like this like one sentence literally sums it up. Like, it's like, how can you be friend? Like, whatever. He's a friend and he's gay and he's from Canada and he needed a green card. Like, it was just like one sentence where you like summed up this whole plot in like one sentence for us listeners or watchers to like understand, you know?
Like, it's we all get there. We're like, oh, okay.
we now get it. Thank you.
Yeah. And so with that in mind, with the Phoebe mentioning like he needed a green card, I guess – maybe I just want to take a brief moment around like immigration to like point out the fact that like this is like one of those things in TV that like does a thing and it makes it seem like it's not a big thing when really immigration is like the like it's not a casual thing. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, and specifically like marrying someone. And like applying for a green card from marrying. As someone who can speak to this a little bit.
Spent like what, the last 5 years dealing with immigration?
Yeah. So obviously our situation is very different. My partner is not gay, and he is not from Canada. And he is and he wasn't just a friend, so obviously it's a very different scenario, but I think that like it's important to make note of the fact that like I think this is a common trope, and not just like in television but like in life in general, where when someone like finds out that someone's being deported, they're like, oh well, why don't you just marry him, like, you know, like NBD, it's no big deal, just get married, you know. Like, first of all, it's like a federal crime to get married to someone in order to get them a green card, which is messed up and shouldn't be a federal crime, because, you know, people should be allowed to immigrate to Canada, to like places, you know, and especially when we're like took part in like the destruction and
destabilizing of like other governments. Yeah.
But anyways, that's a story for another time. But yeah, no. So like this idea that like, oh, why don't you just like get married? Why don't you just like, you know, it's no big deal. Like, I think is this really a really harmful trope because mm-hmm. it makes it sound like the immigration process is just like a quick, like, you know, signing of a couple of papers and snap your fingers and boom, you know, you've gotten your green card or whatever. So yeah, it's not that. It's a long process. It's an incredibly invasive process as someone who can speak from experience. You know, and Ilias and I didn't even have to deal with the worst of it. There's just a lot worse situations.
And I think in some
invasive interviews and like just like you basically have to convince a bunch of people who do not know you, never actually speak to you, like literally never even get on the phone and speak to you. So you are convincing someone through a series of photos, a series of receipts, and a few letters that you and your partner are in love. It's like a really fucked up process and really destroys the people who are in it in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it because it's too much.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I also like want to point out, like, so with the trope of like, oh, you should just get married. Like, I think a few years ago, I think the movie was called like The Proposal with Ryan. What's his name? Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds. What a babe.
And Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
And Sandra Bullock. Also a babe. but yeah, I guess I also want to point out like also the like systems at play that cause like basically white privilege, like most of the time, or what can be seen as white privilege essentially, where it's sort of like, you know, like US to Canada to Europe, you know, immigration is substantially a lot easier than like,
well, yeah, because they can just enter each other's country in general without needing any kind of visa. Like, exactly, you can go visit the United States without even blinking an eye, you know, and they're, well, not now during COVID, but before, like, you don't require a visa, whereas many, 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 many countries, especially countries that are not white, require visas even to just enter, just to visit Canada, US, Europe, etc.
Yeah, and not to mention, like, having, like, absurd amounts of money in your bank account to be allowed to have that visa and like different things like that, which just make, you know, moving around very inaccessible. And the amount of privilege that we have as people, like we are, you know, have passports that say Canada on it. And it's sort of like what the kind of privilege that we have to move around. Yeah,
totally. It's also, yeah, it also should be mentioned the fact that like, the immigration process is incredibly different when you're like a white person, you know, partnering with a white person and getting married and going through that process, as opposed to one of you being a person of color. It's just a lot more of an invasive process. And you never know if the person, you know, reading the name on your file, it's like, I don't like this person because their name sounds too whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So there's, you never know what kind of racism is involved because you literally never speak to someone at all in person throughout the entire freaking process. So it's a really isolating and overwhelming experience and not to be taken lightly. So yeah.
Okay.
But that being said, I still love this.
Yeah, this part of the episode. Yeah.
It's just fair. Like of all the people who would marry someone in order to help them get into the country, it would be Phoebe. Like 100%. This is Phoebe, right? Like she's just like, she's an incredible human who like wants to make sure this person feels like they have a home that they can come to. And like, it's great. Like, I just think it's amazing that she does this, you know? So it's just obviously, maybe we can talk about this. Like, she obviously does this for him because she's in love with him, you know? And he doesn't feel that way about her. And so that, like, that obviously puts, it's an interesting concept because I think that this is a very relatable thing for people to like go above and beyond someone who they're in love with, even though they know that person doesn't love them back. And this kind of hope of holding on to the potential idea that maybe they could love them too, you know, which can be really harmful. So yeah, I think that's relatable at least.
Yeah, I think it's totally relatable. And just to like actually draw a parallel of another platform doing this in a kind of a different way, but also this a similar situation in a lot more detail, like an actual storyline in the plot, happens in Jane the Virgin as well. We've mentioned Jane the Virgin a few times during this podcast, but essentially it talks, like, that show talks a lot about immigration in the U.S. specifically, and anyway, so I think that they execute it quite well. But yeah, in this situation where it's like, I don't know, I'm just going to put it out there, but like the benefit, like Canada, like needing a green card to work in the States and you're from Canada, like I feel like there could have been a fair amount of easier ways to like manage it than like marrying a friend who is in love with you. I don't know. Just a thought.
I don't know. Maybe he didn't know that she was in love with him.
Right. I don't know. I think, do you think that? Because I feel like from the conversation, I kind of pick up that maybe he was aware of that.
I don't know. Like, honestly, like, regardless of if it's Canada to US, like, immigration is really awful and terrible. So, like, I understand why people do what they need to do. So.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That's I'm fair. Like, I don't care. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like,
do what you gotta do. Survive.
Do what you gotta do, you know? But anyways, so yeah, so in this episode, we also find out that Phoebe momentarily broke her vegetarianism from sadness. And as someone who has been vegetarian for 12 years and also broke my vegetarianism from sadness, this is relatable.
Yeah. Poll question.
have you broken your vegetarianism from sadness? But anyways. Yeah, I find that it's so funny how Fun Bobby gets mentioned here, because I feel like he gets mentioned so much in this show, but like is only in like a few episodes for a very brief amount of time.
I know. It's so interesting how it's like he's continuously mentioned, and Friends doesn't actually have the best continuity in it, but there's certain things that it's kind of funny, like Fun Bobby is a piece of continuity that does exist.
And meanwhile, the literally two times that we ever meet Fun Bobby, he is not Fun Bobby. He's sad.
I know. I love that.
Like, it's so great.
Okay.
Yeah. So secrets start spilling out here.
Every which way. Yes. So Monica, apparently there's like perma underwear on a telephone wire outside that's Monica's. See, that is something that I probably wouldn't want people to know.
Whatever. That's fine.
I mean, it's one thing if it's like going to be there for 24 hours. It's one that it's like if everyone has to stare at it for like the next 10 years of their life. We find out, because Chandler gave away that about Monica, she gives away the fact that apparently he has a third nipple.
Or a nubbin.
A nubbin. Which is like, so as we've mentioned before, we didn't actually like watch this show as it was coming out, right? But like I would like catch episodes here and there very rarely, and or like reruns. And I feel like this is like a thing that is like universally known about Chandler's character. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
so true. Yeah,
it's like like mentioned here and there in different episodes, and like it just stays. It's just no matter how much you watch Friends, you possibly know he has a third nipple, or you likely know it.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I actually have no idea like the medical reasons why someone would have a third nipple, but. You know, bodies do weird things and bodies have different things happening to them, and they're still good bodies regardless of what they look like.
Yeah.
Just going to throw that out there.
Hells yeah.
All bodies are good bodies.
And then we find out that Joey was in a porno. Kind of, so sort of.
Yeah. This scene when they're all like sitting on the couch and looking up at Joey, like little kids, like being told a story, is so good. Like they're all just like kind of jumping all over the furniture in this scene. Like, again, this body acting that's incredible. Like, you know, first Ross is jumping on the couch and he's like, whip it out, talking about Chandler's nipple. And then the scene shifts and now Rachel is standing on the coffee table and she's so excited, you know? Like, it's just like this moment of like flipping things around and this energy that comes from it. Like, they really built this scene in such a great way. The directing in this is so good.
Yeah, they really like use the entire space. And like, mm-hmm. it's pretty cool. So now we're in Central Perk. Mm-hmm. You know, Phoebe's getting all dolled up. Can we take a second to talk about Phoebe's outfit, first of all?
Yeah. Wow. It's intense.
It's like very 70s, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
With like
it
the hair flipped
like
out.
Like go-go dancer kind of style.
Yeah, go-go dancer. Mm-hmm. Like, and then also with like, she has her hair like pulled to one side at the very front. And then she has one piece to make it look almost like she's wearing like a headband. And it's pulled mm-hmm. in the opposite side. And then all of it comes back and then flips out. And it's just like a very 70s or like even 60s. No, 70s. I think it's 70s.
Probably look. 70s, yeah.
Yeah. And I just, mm-hmm. I think it's so good.
and it's so cute. Yeah.
And it's kind of almost like I feel like a throwback about like kind of like the inspiration for Phoebe's character, which I feel is very much like the 70s kind of like hippie kind of, you know, like beginning of ethereal kind of like new agey right. style of,
yeah, that's of interesting, person. Actually. I didn't think of that. Yeah. That's
yeah.
great. Yeah, so obviously Rachel is like just being a little petty and annoyed again about Julie. and then, you know, Monica says like the most unhelpful line in the world.
I know.
Sweetie, you just have to get over it. And Rachel's clap back there is so good. Like she's like, oh, how did I not even think of that? Like it's just like, it's like, how much do you want to tell that to someone who's like, everything happens for a reason? You're like, oh, thank you. Like just shut up. Like, I get it. But I'm just being petty right now. Let me be petty. You know, it's like, yeah, it's funny. But
no, I agree. I also have like this moment though of being like how do you deal with that kind of a situation, right? Yeah. Where it's like clearly, so like later on in the episode they'll point out that it's been like basically 2 months that, you know, Ross and Julie have been going out, and so it's like 2 months of like Rachel
being like this, yeah,
being like this, and like not like it's clear that she's not going to do anything about it, like she's not going to tell Ross, it seems, and and so it's sort of anyway.
I can imagine Monica just being like, okay, come on. Like, you got to get over it. Like, that mm-hmm. kind of tough love style. I get it.
Because I feel like she's probably tried every other thing at this point. But
it's just hard because I think, like, you know, like, I've been in Rachel's situation. Like, that feeling of just, like, being really in love with someone who you know is, like, with someone else or in love with someone else and, like, doesn't see you that way anymore. Or actually,
I feel like
it was never saw me that way. And so it's, like, it's just really sad. Like, it breaks your heart and you feel it every single day and it really hurts. So it's like, I understand where Rachel's coming from, but I also understand where Monica's coming from.
And when you were the Rachel in that situation, I was the Monica. So we're probably
both relating to it. Yeah, and it was not helpful.
But like I said, tried to have the conversation in every other way and it wasn't helpful either. So...
Wow, we are going to talk about this at a time that's not on this podcast.
We're just digging up old dirt publicly.
Yeah, yeah. Let's put that dirt back in there. I want to move on and talk about something in particular, which is I want to talk about Chandler's sweater. Okay, did you notice his sweater here?
Whose?
Chandler. He's wearing this like... It's kind of like baggy. It's got like red sleeves and like it's burgundy and green. And I just want to state that is 100% a queer sweater. Like not like that Chandler's gay for wearing that sweater, but it is one of those sweaters where like if you've existed in the queer community, you have gone to a thrift store and you have purchased an oversized baggy green and or burgundy sweater that is like, you know, has like, it's almost like an open sweater and it's just, and it's a queer sweater, 100%. It just is. Like I've yet to go to a queer dance party in which I haven't seen someone wearing a sweater like that.
Interesting. I mean, we have talked about it in the past, like the concept of like how Chandler is like queer, like a queer baiting character where it's
like, that's true. Yeah.
They kind of set it up for like you to almost think that down the line, it's going to be like, oh, actually, I've come to terms with, like, myself and I'm gay, you know? Like, something, right, or yeah. I'm queer of some sort, you know? Like, but it doesn't.
So interesting.
That doesn't that actually ever happen. Yeah. And to be honest, so like in the last episode, like you kind of point out that you're like annoyed with the fact that like there's always like these jokes about Chandler like being gay, ha 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 ha, and it's old and whatnot. I very often like, I don't know if this is like wrong, but I'm just like, I usually kind of enjoy those jokes because I think there's like a little part of me that's like, I want him to be gay, you know?
Yeah, I get that. But I guess I just like, I like the jokes. I don't like it when it's mirrored in this, it's framed in this way that like he is less manly because he is gay.
Oh yeah, sure. And there's definitely like tons of homophobia and also within the context of pop culture and the rest of the show, like, no, these jokes are not like excusable, but like me as a little queer person over here, I'm like, I don't know, every time someone like mentions like Chandler,
you're like writing fan fiction in your head.
Exactly. That's fiction. What it is. Is that like, it's like this constant reminder of like, oh, maybe Chandler is queer. Maybe he's one of us.
Come to the dark side. One of us. One
you mean
of
the
us.
Very, very, very colorful side?
Sure. Way to play in a stereotype, Quinn. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So scene cut. Ross is kicking Rachel in the butt. In this very cute, playful way, after Julie leaves, and he has this actually really, in my opinion, like incredibly vulnerable moment. I think that like he feels like he can trust Rachel with this thing that he's like feeling and clearly feels uncomfortable talking about, clearly like isn't sure and like is really insecure about this aspect, in which he like literally brings up the fact that like the only person that he's ever been with has, you know, is now is now with a woman and is a lesbian, you know? So it's mm-hmm. like this insecurity that comes with like that feeling of this person, the only person who I've ever shared an intimate sexual relationship with or any sexual relationship with, wasn't actually into my gender. You know what I mean? Or like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe was at the time. And like, of course, like, you know, sexuality is fluid. It's not like because she's a lesbian, she wasn't into having sex with Ross. But I can imagine that feeling of like, did I do something wrong? Like, you know, this, I don't know. I just, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, not, yeah, like, there's so many layers there. Like, the one is that, like, you've only ever been with one person. So only one person has ever seen you this way. But then also, like, that didn't end well. So it's, like, all of that baggage there. But then on top of that, yeah, no, it's just totally, it's mm-hmm. a beautiful moment of vulnerability. And also, I will add to this that I think this is a beautiful moment on Ross's end, where it's like he's finally in a place where he's taking all of that love that he has for Rachel and he's moving on in a romantic way, but then being able to take that love and respect that he has for Rachel and channel it into
a friendship.
Into the friendship. Yeah. And you can really see it in that moment. Like, he wants to have a deep, vulnerable conversation with her. Mm-hmm. And it's coming from that place that it is because he loves her so much, you know?
Yeah.
And he's willing to open up to her in this way. And he wants to share this part of himself with her, even though it's mm-hmm. not, like, with her, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. And then Rachel takes the situation and manipulates it 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It sucks. It sucks here. I really, like, I get it, and it's funny for comedic reasons, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I do not think, and I'm going to say this again, I do not think it's the same thing as when Ross manipulates her. And I will explain why. And that mm-hmm. is because of the patriarchy. No, but seriously, in the sense that, like, it is not okay for anyone to manipulate anyone. Point finale. Manipulating someone in order to get something that you want out of it, especially when they're in this vulnerable position, is really, really harmful. And so what Rachel does here is not okay. But I think that it's, like, I want to bring this up because we talk about how like Ross manipulates Rachel so much last season, and how, like, you know, he says he turns to Paolo. He's like messing with her relationship with Paolo. He like slut shames her a bunch, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I think like it's important to point out that there's a different power dynamic when a man is controlling a woman's behavior than when a woman is manipulating a man. And that's not to say that one, it, like that they're, that, you know, a woman manipulating a man is okay. I'm not at all saying that. But I think it's just, it's important to recognize the power structures at play and the ways in which for literal centuries and still to this day, men have had a lot of say over the way women dress, how the way women act, the way women behave, the way women have sex, et cetera, et cetera. So Ross manipulating Rachel is a very different thing than Rachel manipulating Ross. Did I say that okay? Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's like, it's finding that line between the fact that like your individual actions are, can be seen as an individual action. But at the same time, everything comes within the bigger picture and the context of like society and the baggage that has come with it. And it's like, having to be able to see both at the same time in whatever we do. And also, I mean, like as the episode progresses, I think that we should go also like on an individual action, sort of looking at things. I do think that how it plays out with Rachel is a little bit different than with Ross. But we'll get there.
Yeah. Totally.
I also want to take this scene, though, here, because we're talking about sex. And we're also talking about, like he's like, oh, we haven't had sex yet. And then, okay, I want to talk about sex in many different ways right now. But, he's like, we've done other things. And so I want to, like, reiterate how, like, from the context of what he's talking about, it's clear that like when he's talking about hasn't had sex, he means we haven't had penetrative sex as of yet, you know?
Yeah, or
they have had
specifically
sex.
Penis and vagina sex, I think.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's sort of like wanting like. Pointing that out, that like Ross, you're already having the sex, like you're doing the thing, you know. But like, yes, every kind of different sexual act can have like different connotations, different like emotional like attachments and psychological feelings. So yes, like looking at them all individually makes sense. Just a thought there.
It's good to point that out. Sure.
I also want to point out though that like. Like, I don't know. Emily, if you were in this situation where someone that you are, like, very much in love with or, like, super crushing on or whatever comes to you and is like, I'm thinking of having sex with this other person – well, this person that I'm dating. You know, like, you're already in a different relationship. Like, I don't know. Is them having sex with the person they're dating a big deal?
No, I think maybe she's just surprised that they haven't had sex yet because they've been together for 2 months, you know? And so, and like clearly like, you know, you get this scene later on where like Julie is already at Ross's apartment when the rest come over. Like, did she stay the night? Was she there? Like, how long has she been there? You know, like, so they've clearly have like a pretty established relationship. And like, I think when you're there is a assumption, and it's not necessarily a correct assumption because, you know, asexual people exist, you know, things like that. But like, I think there's an assumption that when you've been in a relationship with someone for X amount of time, you've had sex, you know? So I can imagine her being just like confused and quote unquote shocked.
But it doesn't
necessarily mean it makes sense, you know?
Yeah. But I guess it just more mean like, I don't know. Sex is not a big deal in some way. Anyway, you know what?
I don't know about that because I think for Ross right now, he's saying it is, right? Like, he's actively saying that sex is a big deal for him.
Yeah, I don't mean it in that way. Like on an individual, I guess it's like someone else having sex. Maybe I'm not getting this across very well. So as things progress, if language comes to emote what I'm trying to say, I will do the thing.
Sounds
good. But now we're going to flip over and we're going to see Phoebe meeting up with her husband.
Woo woo. Yeah. So Duncan and Phoebe are at the ice rink together. He is very sparkly.
And she's kind of very sparkly too. She's wearing a very sparkly lip gloss.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Mm-hmm. Or lipstick. I don't know.
And I think that like her love for him here is very cute and very relatable. And at the end of the scene, like before it cuts to, again, Ross and like the gang over at Ross's place, she has this moment where like he's like, oh, I'm going to go change. And then she's like, okay, olay. And like, and then she's, and he's like, huh? Like, and she has to like explain her joke to him. And I just feel like that is the most relatable thing in the world where she like says like you have a crush on someone and you say something and you think you're being witty but really you weren't and it wasn't very funny and then you're like, oh my god, why did I say that, and kind of like regretting it and feeling like so awkward. Like I just think that's, she does that so well. Like, why did I say that? Like, ha ha ha, ha, you know. So yeah, good.
Totally. Question, do we want to just go through the storyline?
Oh yeah, sure, why not. Okay, yeah, sure. So then, yeah, so then Duncan basically says that he needs a divorce because turns out that he is not gay. He is in fact straight. And then ensues an excellent 2 to 3 minute scene of him coming out as straight. And the writers wrote this very specifically because it's so funny that he has to come out as straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to notice that it is really funny that anyone has to come out as anything. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's like I like this scene for the fact that like it just really shows how ridiculous it is that like coming out has to be this huge big deal. And it is. I'm not saying that it's not, because it is, because we live in this world in which, like, you know, we've created this world in which we devalue queer people. So I'm not saying, like, it's not valid to think of coming out as, like, intense, because it is. Like, my own coming out was really, really intense and emotional. But, like, it just, like, shows that it's, like, this is a silly concept. You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to make such a big deal about this, you know?
Yeah.
I just like this scene.
Yeah, and I think they do a really good job of, like, taking, like, all, like, the – especially, like, the 90s tropes that exist around, like, being gay and, like, all – like, the conversations that almost seem like you have to come out, you know, like, yeah, to prove your gayness or to prove – you know, like – and
yeah, like how did you know, you know, and like when did you find out, was there someone, you know, and things like that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, the person feeling betrayed when mm-hmm. like, you know, or like, I don't know you anymore, but it's like I'm still the same person. And it's just like, yeah, all these levels of you know, that it just sort of seems like inevitable, you know, in a lot of ways.
You know, it's funny actually that I just thought of is what? Like Ross would have had this same similar conversation with Carol. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like I can imagine that this was a similar conversation that Ross had with Carol, just being like, well, like, you know, how did you know, blah 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 and blah blah blah. Not saying like, you know, all of this like major interrogation is okay, because a lot of queer people are like still figuring their shit out. We're all figuring our shit out, but honestly. But like, I think that like I can imagine, you know, there's been two divorces on this show so far, and it's Ross's divorce to his queer wife or lesbian wife, and now it's Phoebe's divorce because she was married to someone who she thought was gay, but now is straight. You know, it's like this kind of reversal of their two divorces.
Oh, yeah. That's so interesting. That's yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
I also love this parallel. Or I guess like, yeah, I love this parallel because it's sort of like, I think that you can kind of get from it how exhausting it is to come out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Like, and for anyone who is not aware that like, because of like the world that we live in that we, you know, need to undo, that like we just make assumptions about like someone's sexual orientation and gender all the time, that it just creates a system where it requires people to have to, like the concept of like being out or not is like non-existent. Because, like,
yeah, because you're constantly coming out.
Exactly.
Or like you're constantly reading a room and deciding if maybe you shouldn't come out here. You know, maybe it would be safer if you're not out here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, there's not like one moment in like a queer person's life where they're like, now I am out. And like, that is it. It's yeah. like this continuous process.
Unless maybe they're like famous. And everyone knows them.
Right. Well, I've actually read articles of people who, like, who even when they're famous, like, it's still the same thing. Like,
right,
it, like yeah. kind of being like, you would think, because that's what I thought, that, like, I'm, you know, very well known that people would just know, but it's, like, still a continuous thing.
Right, yeah.
And I think that, like, it's, like, and maybe just to, like, help people who, like, cannot relate in that way to relate on some level is to sort of like see this conversation and then just imagine having to have that conversation over and over and over again for pretty much like the rest of your life, including yeah. other ones that end like very horribly and people like having a lot of like backlash to it or, you know, like, yeah. And so I guess like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to articulate earlier and just did a very poor job of it. So I'm glad you articulated it better than me. I was trying to say, like, it's so ridiculous that we have, like, that this conversation exists because it just feels like that. Yeah, that's, anyways, you said it way better than what I was saying because, you know, whatever. It's late in the day.
I know. I think, and then also, like, on the other side, like, everyone making an effort to no longer assume gender or sexuality would be helpful. And that yeah. doesn't mean to just assume that someone is gay because they have some sort of feature about them that is a stereotypically gay or queer thing.
Like being an ice skater?
Exactly.
Great. Yeah, so I think yeah. we can finish off that like story yeah. with Phoebe. You know, they share this like little cute goodbye kiss, and obviously she wants to know if his brother is straight, which is really funny, and like wants to date his brother, maybe kind of weird.
Also like a little creepy way, you know?
Yeah, kind of like she takes it a little far.
But, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so then let's follow the crew who is over at Ross and Rachel's apartment. So
where they all walk in and Julia has a paleontologist on her face.
Yeah, yeah, so good. And I want to just add, like, when that moment happens and Chandler is the one speaking and the camera is focusing on Chandler and Julie and Ross's interaction, right? But if you notice in the background, Monica like turns to look at Rachel and Rachel and Monica like share this glance. And it's again another example of like really good directing and really good acting of like characters taking on these roles even when the focus isn't on them. Like this is like, it's this moment, like, and it's a very real moment, you know, when you're like, you check in with your friend, you know, like Monica just like turns her head to check in with Rachel to be like, oh, I'm sorry, like, you okay? You know, like, and yeah. I just think that that's really cool and they don't draw attention to it. It's just in the background.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really good like directing call there.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And then obviously they brought Joey's porn movie and it's great.
yes,
I love this like kind of back and forth between Joey and Chandler when Joey's like, when Chandler's like, look what I got here, like, Joey's porno movie. And then Joey, like, as revenge is like, yeah, sure, we can watch it if you're okay with the video filled with two nippled people. Like, it's just like, they're just like, you know, trolling each other sort of thing. It's great. Yeah.
And then also all of the, like, porn and sex type puns that then ensue as like little exchanges leading up to them watching the movie is just like,
yeah, totally. Very well like he's done. The one getting the job or whatever, you know? Yeah, totally.
Very cute.
But this, I don't know if we need to get into this too much because there will be future episodes in which we talk a lot more about porn, I think. I think it's
we'll
important
make
to note
the time.
Yeah, exactly. I think that like it's important to note it, you know, obviously that like there is this really intense stereotype that like porn is degrading to women, and you know what, that's not to say that there isn't porn that degrades women. That's definitely true. But like, you know, there is this this idea that like people in porn are gross or terrible or like awful, you know, and that's just not true. Like, you know, people who are in porn are humans who are doing a job, and that's their job, and that's it. And they are deserving and worthy of the same amount of respect that you would offer anyone else who's just living their life and doing a fucking job. So just want to put that into the universe.
Yeah, totally. And then go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm chatting a lot. You can chat.
And then also just like if your concern is like the treatment of women and the actors in these, you can find lots of great like independent porno, like porn movies, or just like porn actors that you can subscribe to. And also like paying for your porn is important. You know, supporting the actors directly because it is hard work and people deserve to get paid for this type of entertainment.
Yeah, totally. And usually when, you know, you're not watching free porn but watching paid porn, the actors, like there is, depends on who owns the porn situation, but like you said, the independent style, like you can have the actors in it, especially if your concern is quote unquote degrading women. You know, you can find a lot of really incredible sex workers out there who are advocating for themselves and don't want a pity party and just want you to fucking pay them for what they do and respect them. So yeah, maybe we can throw some show links. Oh my God, let's put some good fucking porn subscription show links, show notes. Into our links into our show notes. I think that'll
Hells
be great.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. But then, yeah. And then Rachel's like trying to convince them not to watch porn by being like, it's degrading to women and females.
And the lighting is unflattering.
Which is hilarious. That line's so funny.
Which, but like, then whenever when she says that, I usually like disagree. Like, if anything, like especially like the high end porns, like very often they like can very often depict like very unrealistic like sex dynamics, right? Which is like, another, you know, another reason to go like smaller or amateur, you know, porn whatnot. But like, I just find that like a funny statement because it's like if anything, I'm like, like if anything. Like, the lighting is too perfect. Yeah, no one looks that good having sex.
That's so true. But yeah, no, and then she turns to Monica and is like, Monica, back me up here. And Monica, like, I think this is one of my favorite Monica lines in the world, where she's like, hell, I want to see Joey. Like, she has this just, like, total, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not here to support you. I want to see Joey in this porn.
Like, it's like, there's only so far I can sacrifice to support you on this one.
Exactly. It's so good. And then I actually, like, I want to just note this little moment on the couch when, like, Chandler and Monica are, like, really close here. Like, it's like,
no,
they're really close.
Oh, wait, like, we can't give anything away. Oh shit! Maybe I should just stop talking.
Just gave something away.
Oops.
All right, let's take note of that time.
Oh,
classic.
Sorry.
But anyways, so yeah, no, so there's this like moment where Chandler and Monica are like really close on the couch, and like it's almost like they're like, you know, they're bonding in a sexy way. I'm into it. Anyways, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. It's cute, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, so then, yeah.
Rachel
so
keeps everyone from leaving after that.
Keeps everyone from leaving, wants to learn about Cobb salad, et cetera, et cetera. And then eventually they're like, okay, we gotta fucking go. Like, this is it. Like, Rachel, we can only support you for so long again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we get this really intense scene in the hallway, last kind of scene of the episode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's sad. It's understandable again, but it's also sad. And Rachel starts first by like, again, trying to manipulate him. And then when he has this like really incredible moment where, again, he's being super vulnerable with her. And he's like, you know, I spent all of last year just being really sad and really depressed. And like, I'm finally happy and I just don't want to mess it up. And like, then she has, I think, a bit of this realization where she's like, oh, fuck, like, what right. am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and she says to him, she's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, well, it's not your fault. And then she kind of like scoffs and is like, ugh. Like
she yeah, sees what sure. she's doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah. And then like flips it and turns it in a way of like her being able to then just like share something with him
mm-hmm.
of what, you know, I guess she wants or whatnot. Like create yeah. a different outlet for her feelings for him. And
yeah, and I don't know if this last bit is manipulative anymore. Like, I think she's just like
being
honest. Just feeling and trying to tell him how she feels without actually telling him how she feels. Like, I guess it's a little manipulative, yeah. but it's like, it's more she's just like being really vulnerable herself, I think.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously he walks away because he's not into her anymore. He is into Julie and he wants to go and be with Julie. And then again, we get this other super incredibly relatable moment where she just like collapses to the floor and groans so loudly.
Yeah, which is really funny because I feel like the last thing in the scene is like in frame is like her hair that is like attached to the wall is because she like collapsed so quickly and her hair was on the wall.
Yeah.
I think I also want to like point out here like how Ross is like, you know, I was so miserable all last year, and like now that he's in a relationship he's no longer miserable. And again, like same theme from like Chandler in last episode where he's sort of like you know, doesn't want to be end up alone in a sense. You know, like just like this continuity of like, you know, relationships or being in a relationship makes you whole or keeps you happy. And, you know, it's just like all these very, very subtle ways that like very a lot of pop culture just sort of like normalizes that when that's, you
that's
know, like
interesting because I actually just think that like last year he was depressed because he was literally going through like a divorce, a very unexpected divorce. He like was unexpectedly with child with this woman he was in love with and like now can't even raise his child with this woman he was in love with.
And also, like, I want to point out like where the frig has Ben been the last like few episodes.
Yeah, he's mentioned briefly in like one of the episode where he says him and Julie are gonna swing by Carol and Susan's to see right. Ben, but yeah no he's gone. But like anyways, I just want like I get what you're trying to say, and I'm on board, but I think that, like, he did have a rough last year, and
no, him, I'm not like, saying that he didn't yeah. have a rough last year, but, like, this year being better because suddenly he's, like, in a relationship with someone, it's just, anyway,
interesting, because I think that, like, he says when he first starts dating Julie, he turned to Chandler and he was like, look, like I was pining over Rachel for so freaking long. And you know what? And I realized like, you know what, dude, you just got to get over it. You got to stop being kind of like a baby about it and you got to move on. And I like actually think that that's where that happiness comes from. Like him just mm-hmm. like stop being a little baby and feeling sorry for himself and, like, you know, I don't know. Mm. But, you know, it's probably a combination of both and stuff.
Interesting.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
What do you guys think out there in the world?
Yeah.
Do you think Bonus poll question. I think
speaking of polls, let's go into polls.
Poll time. So this week on the polls for episode 4 of season 2, the one with Phoebe's husband, we asked some questions and you gave us some pretty great answers. So have you ever had any unwanted, non-domesticated animal meander into your living space? And 77% said yes, this did happen. And to be fair, Emily has an excellent, excellent story that includes a banana and a goat. And hopefully we'll have some time at some point to tell that story. We also ask, have you ever told someone else's secret because they told one of yours? Now, this is not super cool, guys. I got some people who voted yes, they have done this, which was 36%, by the way, write into me and be like, I was not always a good person, which I think is funny. We all make some pretty poor decisions in our lives, don't we? Next. What next one do we want to do? Have you ever stopped? This is another one where I got the same sort of answers, like messages from people. Have you ever tried to stop someone you like from having sex with someone else? And 71% said no, but 29% said yes, they have. When you have a crush on someone, does it bother you if they sleep with someone else? 65% said yes. Now, 11% of people who answered polls have seen the Ice Capades. And to be quite frank, I don't think I quite know exactly what the Ice Capades are. But when Shannon wrote in and was like, does Disney on Ice count? I was like, yes, of course. Because maybe I don't know what the definition of Ice Capades are. But anyway. Also, this was my favorite question. Because Rachel's like, the porn light is always unflattering. And in my mind, that's just not the case. And 30% of people said yes. And 70% agreed with me and said no. Now for the rest of the poll question answers, you're going to have to go check out our Patreon page, to get the deets. See you there. Now back to our regular scheduled programming. So I feel like that, I think it kind of like starts to really wrap up the episode. Who do you think was the best friend of the episode?
Interesting. We didn't talk about the fact that Ross, just the last scene where Ross is super excited because he just had sex and he is dancing in the street to Singing in the Rain, I think is epic.
Yes. It's great. And if we had more time, I wouldn't mind deconstructing it, but I think that we can do that in future episodes when similar things happen.
Interesting. Okay. Alluding to something in the future. All right. Yeah, sure. Best friend of the episode. Maybe Monica. Giving Rachel a little tough love. Wanting to watch the porn.
I feel like no one was the best friend of the episode because everyone was kind of shitty. You know, like Monica gave away Chandler's thing. What? Mm-hmm.
I want to nominate Julie as the best friend of the episode.
Why?
She has this great moment with a couple of the friends. She's like really starting to get to know them. She's playing around with them. She's being silly with them. And then like in this end of the episode, she like sits on the couch and just lets Rachel ask her a bunch of questions. And she answers all of them. And she's just like, she's just there. She's present. She's asked to be present and she is present and she's there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
What's your vote?
My vote is, I don't know. I feel like none of them have done anything that like, can we keep nominating people who are not actually the main cast? Like, I thought the point, anyway, I will agree with you. It's Julie. That's the best we can do this episode.
Did we, I don't know if we ever established that the best friend of the episode had to be in the main cast.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Well, then maybe, yeah, probably Julie. Cause she was like, A, she's just generally very cool. And two, like, dealt with Rachel in stride. So I think that wraps us up for this week. So you can find us on Instagram at WTPhalangePodcast. That's a phalange with a PH. So you can check in on our polls that we have every second week and be a part of the answers. Also, if you like this podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. Written one is preferred. You can head on over to our Patreon as well and subscribe to our Patreon account and get a bunch of benefits if you would like to support us that way as well. And also, don't forget to tell a friend about us.
Tell your friends.
So you can also find me, Quinn, at quinnkbrunet.com or on Instagram at thebasicnb or mindbodywithquinn.
And you can find me, Emily, at emilybyoga.com or at my handle, emilybyoga. That is Emily with an I-E, not a Y. I love that this is like my catchphrase now. Emily with an I-E, not a Y. So that's this week's episode. Oh.
Yep. Well, and I was just going to say, in the meantime, you guys, keep deconstructing
and diversifying the media
you consume.
Maybe we should say that again.
Okay, so keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume. There's a lag. Like, there's no way around the lag.
's for tuning in to this episode of What the Phalange. If you're picking up what we're putting down, please consider supporting us on Patreon, leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and or sharing us with all of your friends on social media.
You can find us at whatthephalangepodcast.com, email us at wtphalange@gmail.com, DM us on Twitter at wtphalangepod, or follow us on Instagram at wtphalangepodcast. All links will be included in the show notes below.
Want to get in touch with us each individually? You can find Emily on Twitter as EmilyB__, and that's Emily with an IE.
And you can find Quinn at TheBasicNB on Instagram. Keep deconstructing
and diversifying
the media you consume.